This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right. My God. We can do our part of getting our heads right. I can't speak for our baseball team, who just completely soiled themselves in the Big Apple. The Big Apple? More like the Big Crapple. That was the worst, most terrible, awful 27 innings of baseball I've seen in a long time. Well, since the last sweep. Just terrible. My God. How did the Padres lose on Padres Day?
What happened? I mean, I missed the last couple of days of last week, but the team was about to get a sweep for the first time.
We did get a sweep. We right. swept,
everything
and
everything was good.
Just right back to zero. Good God, man. So frustrating. Frustrating. Like my man Blake Snell, who's also having a frustrating season. It's good to be here with you guys. I mean, I'm happy to be at work today. I'm happy to see my boys. First time back together again. It's been a little disjointed in the Ben and Woods family. I was out, and then Paulie was out. Paulie got sick, and it was, you know, just haven't been able to be together. I hope we survive this week together as one. Couldn't do it without you guys, the Tier 1s. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for everything that you do, all the support that you do give us. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reinl. Now he sounds worse than he feels, he says.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Kind of like lost my voice.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, dealing with whatever the hell I caught last week. It was not fun. It was like
Vegas doo-doo.
Kind of flu-y at first, and then it just turned into like just a regular cold now.
I'm to the point now, and if I go anywhere like Vegas or something again, I'm just going to wear rubber gloves and a mask. just in case. Like we're going to Hawaii, by the way, at the end of July. Ben Higgins joins us as well. Good morning, Ben. You are a foremost authority on Hawaii. As you went twice in 1 year.
I did go twice in 1 year, yep. And I am jealous that you're getting to go. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Don't be jealous. Be happy for me. This is the lesson I'm trying to teach my six-year-old, and it seems like I have to teach my 48-year-old the same thing.
Don't know what you going to Hawaii does for me.
Be happy for me. This is like my son, Bo, is six. He finished second in the home run derby 2 years in a row, and he lost to his best friend, Jackson. And he gets mad. Now, I love the competitive fire, but you also have to be a good teammate and say, hey, man, you deserve this. Congratulations. You beat me fair and square. So I'm trying to teach my six-year-old that at home, and now I got to come into work and teach my 48-year-old the same thing.
I'm not saying you don't deserve it. It's not like I don't want you to have a good time, but yes, I am jealous that you're getting to go. And
stop being so jealous.
A little peeved that I'm being left behind to man the ship while you're gone.
Seven deadly sins, and one of them is envy, and it's the only one you have. I don't even remember the point I was trying to make here in this long rambling intro, but welcome, everybody back to the studio. And I don't know if I want to go straight into these turds.
No, I really don't.
How was your Father's Day? Some fun,
how
man.
Was your Father's Day?
It was unbelievably good. Great. Unbelievably great. Very proud of the Tier 1 baseball team. We finished the season, the regular season, 10-4. And you may remember, Benny, we were sitting in here 6 weeks ago at 4-4, really on the cusp of, we needed to figure out who we wanted to be. And we ripped off six straight wins and first place, alone in first place. Very proud of the guys. Ran into a lot of Tier 1s on the other team yesterday. Really nice dudes. We won 8-7 yesterday. Our closest game of the, we were 8-1 in the ninth.
Oh.
And our pitcher, Bruffy, decided, I'm going to work on my curveball. Mm. And everyone started kicking it around. Next thing you know, it's 8-7.
Brought Steven Kolek into the game.
Yeah, tying run on third. And I'm like, hey, can we stop working on our curveball and just get some outs? But we ended up winning the game. My family came to the game. It was awesome. Nothing like getting heckled by your six-year-old for hitting into a double play, which is really cool. He gives me the, what was that? And I'm like, he was a bad at bat. You're going to have him too, you little ass. So he was heckling me from the stands. But it was a great day, man. And then went to In-N-Out for lunch. Went home, got a nap, watched the U.S. Open, watched the Padres just completely soil themselves, and then had a delicious dinner from Rosanna's, which is my favorite restaurant on the planet, and crushed that and got to bed early, man. Feel good.
Outstanding.
How about you?
Let's see. I would say mostly good with the little bad thrown in.
What was the bad?
Let me start with the good. I'm a positive guy. All right. First of all, got the coolest present from my wife and kids. I got Funko'd.
Funko'd.
Yeah, it's a doll. If you're on your YouTube stream, you see me. It's me. It's a doll of me. It's in the little glass case. It's got my glasses. I've got a pair of headphones that I'm holding.
That's awesome.
My little brown dog is there as well. And I thought this was just one of the coolest gifts I've ever received. Has my name on it, Ben Higgins.
Yep, very good.
And I can put it back here in the backdrop so people can see it when they're in the studio.
I love it.
Which was fun. And then I got to play a real fun round of golf with my father-in-law and brothers-in-law at La Jolla Country Club, where he's a member. It was a scramble. Fun tournament.
Fancy,
tough course. Very tough course.
Fancy.
Very fancy. You know, fancy Ben likes that. The one bad part was, unfortunately, on Saturday, I had my engine light came on my car, so I had to drop it off, and the dealer needed to check, like, what I didn't know what was wrong with it. And here's the good news. There was a recall on something, so they're going to fix it absolutely for free. Hooked me up with a loaner car, and that was like late on Saturday. They said, we can't fix it today, but we'll give you this loaner, no charge. Just, you know, leave it with us for a couple of days, and we'll get it back to you early next week. So I got my golf clubs out. I got everything. I was good to go, and then I realized my work computer was still in the car.
The time. You do this all the time.
I know. And they are closed on Sundays, and I needed it for work last night at Channel 10. I had all my stories and everything on it for my show.
So you broke into the dealership.
No, I mean, the sales staff was in there, and there was a manager. So I show up, and the manager says, I might be able to access the car, but I can't access your key. It's locked away, and I don't have it. You have the spare key. No, so I have to go and get the spare key to come back to get it, and finally, eventually, got my computer after a very long and drawn-out process on my Father's Day, so I could then go to work last night. So, you know, some good, some not great on Father's Day.
It's quintessential now. Ben Higgins. We have pulled up to a golf course before, and we got it out of the car. Paulie and I are walking up to the range to get loose, and Ben, you see him pause by his car and go, I'll be right back, and slam his trunk, get in his car, and leave. And I'm calling, where are you going? I forgot my golf shoes. I'm like, oh, my God, you're like my six-year-old. Holy cow.
I usually just keep everything in the car so I can't forget it. But exactly. When the car gets changed out on me, there's sometimes some problems.
No, we had such a great time. My kids were very sweet. Made me the best gifts. Bo's card. Dad, happy Father's Day. I'm sorry I'm so hard to deal with. Love, Bo. And I lost it. I lost my mind. And I'm like,
did you feel a little guilty?
Yes. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Because I told you on Friday, man, we've been butting heads a little bit, you know, trying to get it figured out. And I said, well, how did you learn how to spell all this? He said, I asked Alexa. He went into the kitchen, got a card out, made it. Started writing on it and asked Alexa how to spell Father's Day, sorry, all these words, and he did it himself by asking Alexa. I'm like, you're a genius, man. And he's just the sweetest.
Alexa, how do you spell sorry?
Yeah. Hey, Alexa, how do you spell?
It's so sad.
I know. How do you spell degenerate son?
That's so sad.
It was so sad. And I walked in and he gave it to me, and I just choked.
Here's what I'm going to need. There's a way, if you go onto the Alexa app, it saves all of the recordings.
All the recordings. Hannah's listening.
You'll be able to find
what he asked for.
Everything.
Yeah. That's how he said he did it. All right. Yeah. Hannah can probably do it in the next half an hour. I mean, she's busy, but, but yeah, it was really sweet. Taylor made me this awesome thing from elementary school, holding three letters, D-A-D. It was really sweet. I got this new backpack. Your backpack is, I don't want to disparage it. Our company gave us these really...
Nice.
They're nice.
Is the word
That's
you're looking for.
I was going to say...
Michael's listening, so nice is the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
I wore mine out in less than a year.
Nice.
Nice.
They gave us these. Now, I had a Padres backpack that broke, which is a harbinger of things to come. Just fell apart at the seams. So I started using this one. It wasn't great. So I needed a new one. So I got a new one. I did not know. My wife got me a Yeti backpack. I did not know that Yeti made backpacks. I was like, is this a cooler that I wear on my back? No, idiot. It's a backpack. And I said, oh, this is rad. Which means I texted Ben immediately. I got a new backpack, which means you get a new backpack. So now you have my Odyssey backpack.
Which is exactly like my old worn out Odyssey backpack.
Yeah, it's exactly. So now you have another year at least. And maybe next year for Father's Day, we get you get this Yeti. You get this Yeti next year and I'll get a new one. And then my wife got me some cool Jordans, like low cut Jordans, Paulie. I'll show you. They're pretty cool.
Nice.
They haven't gotten here yet. Those are pretty sick. And then what she did, I thought was really thoughtful. Our guys at Callaway a couple of years ago made us all custom Ben and Woods golf bags. It has our logo on it. And, you know, obviously it's got our logo. It's not something I can go to Golf Mart and replace. I flew with my clubs. Something happened to the stand and it like bent it in half. And you can't just replace the stand, I found out. So she contacted our buddy Jason and Jason said, I'm going to get him a new Callaway golf bag, and Callaway just knocks it out of the park for us. They are the title sponsor of the Ben and Woods Open that goes down this Wednesday. So we have no more tickets available. You cannot buy tickets to play. I'm sorry. We gave you guys 1,000 chances. You can, though, come up to Goat Hill and hang out with us. Help us heckle people on the 10th hole. I have a minor. We did not get the beans. I'm sorry. I left them in my cart. Hit a green, eat a bean. I left the bamboozled beans in my cart and I never ordered them. I'm sorry. It's fine. We have Ben's Glory Hole. We have the Heckle Hole. You guys you don't have to buy a ticket. Just come hang out with us if you want. Watch people golf.
Buy some raffle tickets
for these incredible prizes.
Closest to the pin to win a custom Ben and Woods Nixon watch, which I am also modeling today on the YouTube stream if you want to check it out. And if you want to see the back of it, it has a Ben and Woods Open on it. It's hard to take off, but yeah it's got Ben and Woods Open.
It looks really
right
cool.
There. Ben and Woods right there on the watch. So
yeah, please come hang out with us.
Unbelievable prizes.
Grab some food and everything else. So we're going to have a good time.
Quickly, I wanted to ask you, what were you doing when I was walking in this morning?
Oh, we were filming you.
Yes.
Because...
shall we tease later? We can talk about why you were filming me?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
All right. We'll explain why. You've probably already seen the video if you're on our social media channels. But, yes, I was surprised as I walked into the door to a camera crew as I walked into the Odyssey Studios this morning. So we can talk about that a little bit later.
I'm dreading talking about this team. And I'll tell you why. Ben sent a text over the weekend and it sat with me for about 36 hours and I've been thinking of almost nothing but this text, and there's so many layers to these simple words. We'll read it for you. You can kick it around. Don't feel sorry for us. We're fine. You're going to be fine too. But it just sat with me all weekend when I read it and I went, he's a prophet. Ben Higgins is an actual prophet with a brand new backpack.
It's good tease. All right, we'll come back and we'll tell you what I texted Woods and set the menu for the show on a Monday. We do have a very special guest coming up a little bit later. Stay tuned for all of that coming up. Let's get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. I think Woods said it well. Don't feel sorry for us.
No.
We have a great, fun job.
Yes.
We like being here in the mornings. And we don't have to talk about the San Diego Padres. I think... perhaps Adam wouldn't be all that pleased if we just stopped talking about them, but we can talk about other things. We can talk about the great U.S. Open finish yesterday.
Oh, God.
We can talk about the Caitlin Clark cultural lightning rod going on. I don't really want to, but it's certainly a topic that everyone's talking about. We could avoid Padres talk for a while
here. Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and Dallas trying to
Stanley
pull off history.
Cup.
Game 4 of the blowout game. That was unexpected.
There's other topics in the world. We could just talk about non-sports things the entire time.
Sandwiches.
We could
all
do
in.
4 hours. We do 20 hours on sandwiches this week.
I thought about it, man. I really did after this weekend. I thought to myself, Hey, you got to go in there and talk about these guys again.
It's a hard team to talk about. It really is.
I tweeted, it's a really hard team to cover. And you sent a text over the weekend that just, it honestly, man, kind of blew my mind. And I felt it when you sent it. You know, sometimes you get a text and it like punches you in the mouth. And you're like, bro, you just summed up the entirety of the whole situation for me. So I had a very, Paulie, this is Saturday, 3:47 p.m. And back to 500. And then I had a very, very crass.
You don't need to read your text.
I'll amend it. I said if 500 was a woman, they'd make love to it.
They're very close, the Padres close. And 500. Very intimate. 500. Intimately connected.
Yeah, they'd make sex with
intertwined,
it.
As it were. And with 500.
Ben, this is the one.
Oh, my God.
Hey, look at that, guys. 500.
500. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. We're two games over 500. Let's drop these next two so that we can...
Pound town.
So, Benny writes this, and I'm telling you, since Saturday 3:48, I've been thinking about nothing but this text. He says, I feel like nothing we ever say about this team is correct or meaningful. And you probably looked at it as like a throwaway comment. But what it did for me, it summed up the last 2 years to my core. Like it went like, and I sat on it and I sat with it and I reread it and I thought about it all week. I was playing baseball yesterday thinking about that. And there's a certain ability that, like, I'd say national sports radio hosts have. There's an ability to say something off the wall and stupid. People rail you for it for 30 minutes, and then you move on with your life. You're making $1 million a year. You're on television. You're like, oh, the Mavericks are going to cruise in this series. They get smoked, and you're like, who cares? I'm wrong 90% of the time. I don't have that gene that lets me just forget about things that I say that I don't feel are dumb things at the time. I feel like they're actually smart things at the time. This team continues to prove everybody wrong. And that's the tough part, man. I sit with that a lot.
I've covered sports for long enough that I realize there are good teams that play bad for a while. There are bad teams that play good for a while. There's an up and down factor for every season and every team. But ultimately, almost every team will develop tendencies that you can mostly rely on. An identity, you know, something. You know, they're a team that steals a lot of bases. They're a team that does this well but doesn't do this well. And over, you know, a few months, now that we're 2.5 months plus into the season, you should be able to identify some tendencies of a baseball team. I'm having still trouble doing this with the San Diego Padres. For a while, oh yeah, they hit well on the road, but they can't hit at home. They win on the road, they can't win at home. Well, they've completely 180'd that now in the last week or two. Why? No idea. No idea why. And it's very difficult to understand, explain, and talk about on a daily basis when this team doesn't give you any anchors to really grab onto.
Not one, man. Except for average. Average. And when I say average, I mean mediocre 500. Chris Ello, 16 hours ago, sent a tweet. It said, why sweat it when it seems that 500 is all that's possible in exactly 2 years since June 17th of 2022? The Padres have played 346 games, including playoffs. Their record is 173-173. That is confounding. It's ridiculous. It makes you feel like the first thing I thought of when you sent that, Benny, this is not a shot at you at all because you didn't say that they do it. Your job at the roundtable is to ask questions and get responses. The first thing I thought of was we're sitting in there on Thursday after sweeping the A's. And Ben says, all right, so does everybody have a feeling now that maybe this team has turned the corner? You get that sweep out of the way. And everyone gave their answers. And I'm sitting there going, and my answer was, you got to show me a little bit more, right?
No.
But I didn't feel like, oh, man, what an idiot Ben is. Ben asked the question. We gave the answers. We gave what we thought. And I think it's so hard to handicap what this team is going to do on a nightly basis. You look at yesterday's game after dropping the first two, and you go, all right, Dylan Cease is on the bump. We're heavily favored in this game. We're going to roll with Dylan Cease. He's going to put a stop to this. And I know he struggled a little bit the last five starts, six starts maybe. But you feel like, all right, this guy's going to stop it. No, God no. 4-0 before you blink. And it just, it makes you feel like you're an idiot, really, covering this team. Really makes you feel like you're a dumbass.
If you had told me before the Mets series that it was going to end in a sweep, I would have said, okay, I'm like 80 to 90% sure that it's the Padres doing the sweeping, not getting swept based on what I saw last week. I'm not doing that anymore. You know what? If the Padres go to Philadelphia the next 3 days and they sweep the Phillies, I'm not letting myself
get excited.
Get overly excited.
No,
about
because all
it.
You're
it's good.
Doing,
it's good news.
All you're doing, though.
It's good news, but then they could come home next weekend and absolutely lose 2 out of 3 at home or all three. You have to show me something over more than a week or two to tell me what you are, other than a 500 team.
I mean, with those numbers, 173 and 173, it's going to take more than a week or two for me, really. And
more than a week or two,
it's
exactly.
It's going to take more than a week or two of good
baseball.
And by
the way, that holds both ways as well. Everybody who is now, you know, jumping off the bandwagon and saying, you know, AJ, everybody needs to be fired. You know, wait 5 days, and you know that now. How do you feel?
Right,
wait 5 more days. How do you feel after that?
We're in on selling. Oh no, we're in on buying at the deadline. Should probably sell. No, but we just took 2 or 3 from Philly. We should add. It's maddening. They're maddening. They're going to put me in a sanitarium. 173 and 173 over their last 346. That's who they are. It's just who they are, and they did not show up in New York. At all. They never got off the plane in New York. And we said it on Friday, Benny. We were talking to Italian Paul when he was in, and he's like, hey, or on Thursday, he's like, guys, it's the Mets. You guys are going to take care of business. I said, Italian Paul, they got 2 lefties on the bump. We have not been able to figure out lefties. He's like, and, you know, well, this lefty's 0-2 with a 10 ERA in the month of June. That's Sean Manaea. And Quintana had been terrible, too, in June. No problem. You need to get right. We'll get you right. That's the team we are right now. We are the get you right squad. And I don't like being a fan of the get you right squad. I like to be a fan of a team that handles business. I'm sorry, man. Jose Quintana throwing 90 miles an hour up in the zone. You guys can't hit that. Manny, Toddy, all these guys. You can't hit that. You might be in the wrong business. I mean,
Tatis was the hottest baseball player on the planet. For a week to 2 weeks in the start of June, all of a sudden goes 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts yesterday.
Yeah, Tatis was 1-for-12 in the series. Manny was 1-for-11 in the series. Solano, 0-for-8. Solano couldn't miss. Crony, 1-for-10. What are we doing here? Ha-Sung Kim, 1-for-9. I mean, what in the world? What in the world? Again, you're not going up against the three, but you're not going up against, you're going up against three very average middling players, and you didn't show up again, and you got swept. You undid all the goodwill, all the good things you did. By the way, that you pulled 2 of those games out of your ass completely against the lowly A's. We said it. We said that's a red flag, but hey, you take the wins. You don't complain about wins. That's a huge red flag. I mean, credit to them for doing that, because it could have been a lot worse. But holy smokes, you got to beat those guys if you want to be a good team and not just an average team.
At this point, let's just take them one at a time. And we'll talk about yesterday's game coming up next in our Padres wrap-up. Wasn't a good one by any stretch of the imagination, although there was a certain spin, of course, coming from the Padres manager about why there was some signs of encouragement. I don't know if you want to buy what they're selling,
what?
But we'll certainly let you know what he had to say after the game.
I got to start listening to I can't. This is why I can't do it. Because I don't want my Father's Day ruined by, well, he actually fought back. No. You got swept by the New York Mets, man. And 3 very average pitchers.
You'll have a chance to take on Woods in our 7 o'clock segment and qualify for the trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Don't do this at 7:20. We'll continue the Padres talk and a little U.S. Open talk as well. At 8:35, Sam Levitt, who, of course, was doing the pre- and post-game shows all weekend long, will join us. And how about in our 9 o'clock hour, in addition to the usual Rindle Report, we will be joined by one of the opponents for the series in Philadelphia starting later today. Potential all-star reliever Matt Strom will be back with Ben and Woods at about 9:15 this morning. So we'll catch up with Stromy, who is having a terrific season in the Phillies bullpen. A very, very nasty Phillies bullpen that the Padres are going to have to face. Wouldn't recommend being down two or three runs going into the seventh or eighth against this team over the next 3 days. So that's all on the menu for today's show. We'll start it with the Padres wrap-up. Coming up next, don't go away, more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio.
We should get some of that in the Padres clubhouse. Give me the benefits again.
Healthier weight, more energy.
Yeah, more energy.
Better batting average.
Better bat control.
All those good benefits from the Farmer's Dog.
If you guaranteed me I would get four knocks in the playoffs next week, and I would eat
Farmer's you can. Dog. It's human grade food.
Okay.
It's not, you wouldn't actually
guarantee me
suffer any
it.
Ill effects from it at all.
100%.
All right. Yesterday's game, well, like the rest of them this weekend, it was ugly and painful. In a slightly different way than the first two games, though. We will go through our Padres wrap up and discuss the 11-6 loss to the New York Mets and the sweep. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Up against Blake Snell. Manny swings here, lines it into left center, and a base hit. Profar into score. Cronenworth wheeling his way around to third base. RBI single for Manny Machado. His first Father's Day as a dad. And the Padres have a lead for the first time here this weekend. 1-1 from Dylan Cease. And Lindor hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando is back. He's at the wall watching this one. Gonna go. Second deck in right field. Three hits against Dylan Cease, three home runs against Dylan Cease for Lindor. Just like that, this game is tied 1-1 in the bottom of the first inning. Pete Alonso stands in, swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air, very deep to left field. Profar is back, he's at the wall looking up, it's going to go. Over the old wall in left center for Pete Alonso. 15th of the year, this is a three-run shot, and a couple of first inning home runs for the Mets have given them a 4-1 lead. Cease is set outside target, and the pitch swung on, hit in the air to right field, pretty well struck. Fernando back on the warning track, leaps up over his head, off the top of the wall, comes down on the warning track. Nimmo will come all the way around to score, and Martinez into second base with an RBI double. 7-1 Mets here in the fourth. 3-2 to Profar in a 7-1 game. Here's the pitch. And Jurickson swings, grounds it towards first base. Alonso way back on the outfield grass has got it. Throws to first with McGill covering in time. The run will score as Camposano crosses the plate. But you got to figure the Mets will take that trade. Now a 7-2 game with two outs and a rise at third base. Now the 1-2. Kim swings, hits it in the air to left center field. That's going to get down. And a base hit. Going to find the gap. Go all the way to the wall. Solano comes in to score. Peralta held at third. An RBI double for Ha-Sung Kim. And now a 7-5 game here in the eighth. 1-1. Here's the pitch. Camposano swings, lines it into center field right at Bader. Has to hop up and make the catch at the last moment. That'll get Peralta home. It's a sack fly. And now a one-run game here in the eighth. 2-1, hit in the air to left center field. That's well struck. Merrill is back on the warning track. Fielding for the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go. Luis Torrens, a home run. Mets get a little bit of space here in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's 8-6. 1-1, grounded sharply to third. Off the glove of Solano and down the left field line. Bader has scored. Lindor is on his way. Two more runs come in. And the Met lead is back to 5, 11-6. 2-2. Swung on, hit sharply up the middle, and again McNeil, this time on the backhand. Long throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. For the first time since 2006 at Shea Stadium, the Mets have swept the Padres.
Man, what a great at-bats to get us to 7-6. You know, Bader makes a play on Campy's ball, could have really broke it up and could have got the lead. But, you know, just great at-bats, go out of heart, could have easily said, you know what, not our day, not our series, move on. You know, it's been an easy thing to do, but this is not a team that's going to take the easy way out. And just because we don't get the win doesn't mean we didn't throw it all out there, but there's no moral victories, I get that. But guys fought like crazy to grab one. We just we didn't get the lead almost the whole series outside of the first today, and it was short-lived.
Hard to believe. We talked to that guy on Friday. Everything seemed right in Padres land.
I feel broken.
Very
inside.
Pleasant conversation. And now here we are on Monday going, oh, how could it have turned so quickly?
Somebody said in the chat they were not surprised that the Padres got swept by the Mets. I am. I am surprised they got swept. I really am. The Angels was inexplicable and inexcusable. The Rockies was just the start of the questions that you had about this team. This one really surprised me. I know the Mets had won two in a row before the Padres got in and all that, but man, again, a couple of soft tossers. I mean, Manaea doesn't throw soft, but he has been a really ineffective pitcher since the beginning of June. Quintana is 35 years old. On his last dying breath, he looked like Steve Carlton against this team.
So I was worried about Saturday's game with Major on the mound.
Oh,
That one I was definitely worried about, but I felt Waldron's been pitching really well. I think he's going to shut down the Mets and we'll win that one.
But that was Quintana against Major.
Yes.
That's the one where you look at and go, hey, this kid's probably going to get his tees lit. We have to go out and hit this 38-year-old.
But even if you know you're going to lose that one, I felt good about Friday.
Yeah.
I felt good about Waldron versus Manaea, who you said had been struggling lately.
Dying.
I felt like all they need is like three or four runs, probably going to be enough the way Waldron was pitching. And it was. But Waldron was terrific. 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs for Waldron. Another outstanding start. Yet they only manage one run and they lose that one. And then, of course, you got Dylan Cease in the last game of the series.
No,
you know,
Brandon,
you got your ace. You got that one for sure. So I feel good about taking 2 out of 3. I think the Saturday game was going to be the tough one. And then Dylan Cease comes out yesterday, and before you know it, gives up 4 runs in 4 batters. And I said it's hard to pin down some tendencies on this team. There is one tendency that's held pretty consistently throughout the year. Padres pitching doesn't give up a ton of base runners. They're in the top third of the league and fewest walks allowed. They don't give up a ton of hits. I think they're in the top half in opponent batting average. When they do get hits, though, they leave the yard.
Yeah, they're bombs.
The opposing teams just tend, when they hit one, it goes out of the yard. There's only, I think, 6 teams in baseball who have given up more home runs than the San Diego Padres this season. And Dylan Cease is the latest victim of it. Just had a really bad start. There's no warning signs heading into this one that Dylan Cease was going to have an awful start and give up 7 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Completely out of the blue. We would have sounded crazy if we had said on Friday, I expect Dylan Cease to really struggle against the Mets on Sunday.
Yeah.
Why would you?
And he's losing a little bit of that trust, Benny. He's been slumping, I would say, because pitchers can slump as well.
He's been, not really, if you look at his last few starts. It's kind of gone win-loss, win-loss. He's been inconsistent, but there have been some good starts in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been about a month for him. Where
not as dominant
not
as he
as
was
dominant
earlier,
as
that's
yeah,
for sure.
Of course. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Is there anything particular about the game that ticked you off other than falling behind early?
No. It's more the same.
The sending.
Oh, it's so tough.
Of Ha-Sung Kim when Luis Arraez had a chance to tie the game. Singles with the runner on second. With Ha-Sung Kim on second and Arraez at the bat, I'm thinking, all right, probably going to get a single to the outfield, and he's going to score from second base.
Marte threw a seed.
Yeah, hard to say it was the wrong decision. With Fernando Tatis Jr. coming up and who was the in right field?
It's Marte.
Marte was playing shallow.
Yep.
And got up really good. He probably would have been out. Probably by a few feet. And we would have said, what are you doing, Tim Leaper? Tatis is coming up. You can't take the bat out of his hands there. So I can't complain about that necessarily. Manny getting ejected in the sixth inning.
Yep.
Certainly some frustration. It was a borderline pitch.
He had a rough series.
It did light up the strike zone, It kind of did. It was one of those shadow calls. You can't expect the umpire to get every single one of those exactly right, but obviously the frustration went much deeper than just one pitch.
Yeah, than one pitch. Certainly is one got one hit in the series, got, you know, roasted. So I didn't see, I was at dinner Saturday night and came home to all the hubbub about the running down to first base thing that happened on Saturday. I guess we can save that for when we talk about Saturday night's game. So, I don't know. Look, when you get one hit in a series, you're going to be on the spit, you know, as you should be. And Fernando as well. I mean, nobody showed up. Nobody really showed up. Jackson Merrill did. He's about the only one that shows up right now. So, I don't know. I don't know if you make this team better. I don't know what you do to make this team better. I'm at a loss. I really am at a loss. And, you know, to give them, I think, credit for their fight in the sixth or seventh inning of the last game, which you've already been bodied the first two, is just, that's a tough look.
Only
for me,
to cough
man.
Up every Only run to that cough you score right back. Immediately.
And you know, Estrada's been so good this year. Everybody, nobody's going to be perfect throughout. I understand that.
He's been a little off since he was sick.
Since he was ill.
Yeah, since he had that illness. He definitely has not looked exactly the same. Hopefully that's temporary and bounces back to what he was pre-illness, but now hasn't been the same the last week or so.
Yeah, man, it's just when things are going bad, you ask about the send, right, or the non-send. When things are going bad for your team, every decision is the wrong decision. The decision, if he had sent him, he would have been killed. He didn't send him, he's getting killed, right? Every decision is the wrong decision that the San Diego Padres are making right now. You put in Jeremiah Estrada to try to hold that to a one run. Jeremiah Estrada, who doesn't give up a lot of runs ever, gives up four runs, hands it right back. He's clearly off. It's terrible, man. Every decision is the wrong decision right now. And it's magnified when you don't hit, when you don't score runs, when your offense is dying, you know. And again, Mike Schilt was so happy that they battled back to get those runs. So then he could say, well, we didn't get totally bodied this series. You know, we fought hard and these guys don't give up. And I understand that's something a manager's got to say. But at some point, he's going to have to say, these dudes need to figure it out, you know?
It's important that your team doesn't just fold their tents every time they get down. I understand that. And you know, he's always going to be positive about his team. It also smacks a little bit to me of a self-serving comment. Look at the team that doesn't quit on me. You've seen other managers and teams quit on their managers, but they're not quitting on me.
Not this version.
Right now.
Right.
They're not doing that. We may not have won, but they didn't quit on me is kind of the unsaid part of that. It doesn't really matter, as he said. If you don't win, it doesn't matter. I did think there was something that Mike Schilt said that was accurate after the game. It's true, basically, in all of baseball. But he said that the Padres definitely need to do a better job of marrying their hitting and pitching. It does feel like, hey, get a good pitching effort, where was the offense? Get some offense, even if it comes late, where was the pitching today? Why can't they both happen on the same day on occasion? Why does one have to disappear like it's some sort of teeter-totter scale? Oh, we got a good pitching? Well, then we better stop hitting today. Oh, the pitching's struggling? Well, now let's put up a few runs and lose this one close, you know, or have a chance at it but not pull it out late. The Padres don't seem to all be on sync, on the same page, at least for any extended period of time, which is why they have not won more than four games in a row in the last season and a half, and have only won three games in a row once when they did it. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio.
We should get some of that in the Padres clubhouse. Give me the benefits again.
Healthier weight, more energy.
Yeah, more energy.
Better batting average.
Better bat control.
All those good benefits from the Farmer's Dog.
If you guaranteed me I would get four knocks in the playoffs next week, and I would eat
Farmer's Dog. Well, you can. It's human-grade food.
Okay.
It's not. You wouldn't actually
guarantee me
suffer any ill effects from it at all.
100%.
All right. Yesterday's game, well, like the rest of them this weekend, it was a It was ugly and painful in a slightly different way than the first two games, though. We will go through our Padres wrap-up and discuss the 11-6 loss to the New York Mets and the sweep right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Against Blake Snell. Manny swings here, lines it into left center, and a base hit. Profar into score. Cronenworth wheeling his way around to third base. RBI single for Manny Machado. His first Father's Day as a dad, and the Padres have a lead for the first time here this weekend. 1-1 from Dylan Cease. And Lindor hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando is back. He's at the wall watching this one. Gonna go. Second deck in right field. Three hits against Dylan Cease, three home runs against Dylan Cease for Lindor. Just like that, this game is tied 1-1 in the bottom of the first inning. Pete Alonso stands in, swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air, very deep to left field. Profar is back, he's at the wall looking up, it's going to go. Over the old wall in left center for Pete Alonso. 15th of the year, this is a three-run shot, and a couple of first-inning home runs for the Mets have given them a 4-1 lead. Cease is set outside target, and the pitch swung on, hit in the air to right field, pretty well struck. Fernando back on the warning track, leaps up over his head, off the top of the wall, comes down on the warning track. Nimmo will come all the way around to score, and Martinez into second base with an RBI double. 7-1 Mets here in the fourth. 3-2 to Profar in a 7-1 game. Here's the pitch. And Jurickson swings, grounds it towards first base. Alonso way back on the outfield grass has got it. Throws to first with McGill covering in time. The run will score as Camposano crosses the plate. But you got to figure the Mets will take that trade. Now a 7-2 game with two outs and a rise at third base. Now the 1-2. Kim swings, hits it in the air to left center field. That's going to get down. And a base hit. Going to find the gap. Go all the way to the wall. Solano comes in to score. Peralta held it third. An RBI double for Ha-Sung Kim. And now a 7-5 game here in the eighth. 1-1. Here's the pitch. Camposano swings, lines it into center field right at Bader. Has to hop up and make the catch at the last moment. That'll get Peralta home. It's a sack fly. And now a one-run game here in the eighth. 2-1, hit in the air to left center field. That's well struck. Merrill is back on the warning track. Feeling for the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go. Luis Torrens, a home run. Mets get a little bit of space here in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's 8-6. 1-1, grounded sharply to third. Off the glove of Solano and down the left field line. Bader has scored. Lindor is on his way. Two more runs come in. And the Met lead is back to 5, 11-6. 2-2. Swung on, hit sharply up the middle, and again McNeil, this time on the backhand. Long throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. For the first time since 2006 at Shea Stadium, the Mets have swept the Padres.
Man, what a great at bats to get us to 7-6. You know, Bader makes a play on Campy's ball, could have really broke it open, could have got the lead, but, you know, just great at bats, go out of heart, could have easily said, you know what, not our day, not our series, move on. You know, it's been an easy thing to do, but this is not a team that's going to take the easy way out. And just because we don't get the win doesn't mean we didn't throw it all out there, but there's no moral victories. I get that. But guys fought like crazy to grab one. We just we didn't get the lead almost the whole series outside of the first today, and it was short-lived.
Hard to believe. We talked to that guy on Friday. Everything seemed right in Padres land.
I feel broken.
Very
inside.
Pleasant conversation. And now here we are on Monday going, oh, how could it have turned so quickly?
Somebody said in the chat they were not surprised that the Padres got swept by the Mets. I am. I am surprised they got swept. I really am. The Angels was inexplicable and inexcusable. The Rockies was just the start of the questions that you had about this team. This one really surprised me. I know the Mets had won two in a row before the Padres got in and all that, but man, again, a couple of soft tossers. I mean, Manaea doesn't throw soft, but he has been a really ineffective pitcher since the beginning of June. Quintana is 35 years old on his last dying breath. He looked like Steve Carlton. Steve Carlton against this team.
So I was worried about Saturday's game with Major on the mound.
Oh,
That one I was definitely worried about, but I felt Waldron's been pitching really well. I think he's going to shut down the Mets and we'll win that one.
But that was Quintana against Major.
Yes.
That's the one where you look at and go, hey, this kid's probably going to get his tees lit. We have to go out and hit this 38-year-old.
But even if you know you're going to lose that one. I felt good about Friday.
Yeah.
I felt good about Waldron versus Manaea, who you said had been struggling lately.
Dying.
I felt like all they need is like three or four runs, probably going to be enough the way Waldron was pitching. And it was. But Waldron was terrific. Seven innings, three hits, two runs for Waldron. Another outstanding start. Yet they only manage one run and they lose that one. And then, of course, you got Dylan Cease in the last game of the series.
No,
you know, you got your ace. You got
that
one for sure. So I feel good about taking two out of three. I think the Saturday game was going to be the tough one. And then Dylan Cease comes out yesterday. And before you know it, gives up four runs in four batters. And I said it's hard to pin down some tendencies on this team. There is one tendency that's held pretty consistently throughout the year. Padres pitching doesn't give up a ton of base runners. They're in the top third of the league and fewest walks allowed. They don't give up a ton of hits. I think they're in the top half in opponent batting average. When they do get hits, though, they leave the yard.
Yeah, they're bombs.
The opposing teams just tend, when they hit one, it goes out of the yard. There's only, I think, six teams in baseball who have given up more home runs than the San Diego Padres this season. And Dylan Cease is the latest victim of it. Just had a really bad start. There's no warning signs heading into this one that Dylan Cease was going to have an awful start and give up seven runs in 3 2/3 innings. Completely out of the blue. We would have sounded crazy if we had said on Friday, yeah, I expect Dylan Cease to really struggle against the Mets on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, why would you?
He's losing a little bit of that trust, Benny. He's been slumping, I would say, because pitchers can slump as well.
He's been, not really, if you look at his last few starts. It's kind of gone win, loss, win, loss. He's been inconsistent, but there have been some good starts in there as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's been about a month for him.
Not as dominant as he was earlier, that's for sure.
Of course. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Is there anything particular about the game that ticked you off other than falling behind early?
No. It's more the same.
The sending or the not sending.
Oh, it's so tough.
Of Ha-Sung Kim when Luis Arraez had a chance to tie the game. Singles with the runner on second. With Ha-Sung Kim on second and Arraez at the bat, I'm thinking, all right, probably going to get a single to the outfield, and he's going to score from second base.
Marte threw a seed.
Yeah, it's hard to say it was the wrong decision. With Fernando Tatis Jr. coming up and who was the in right field?
It's Marte.
Marte was playing shallow and got really good. He probably would have been out. Probably by a few feet, and we would have said, what are you doing, Tim Leaper? Tatis is coming up. You can't take the bat out of his hands there. So I can't complain about that necessarily. Manny getting ejected in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Certainly some frustration. It was a borderline pitch.
He had a rough series.
It did light up the strike zone. It kind of did. It was one of those shadow calls. You can't expect the umpire to get every single one of those exactly right, but obviously, the frustration went much deeper than just one pitch.
Than one pitch. Certainly, it was one hit in the series, got roasted. So I didn't see. I was at dinner Saturday night and came home to all the hubbub about the running down to first base thing that happened on Saturday. I guess we can save that for when we talk about Saturday night's game. So I don't know. Look, when you get one hit in a series, you're going to be on the spit, you know, as you should be. And Fernando as well. I mean, nobody showed up. Nobody really showed up. Jackson Merrill did. He's about the only one that shows up right now. So I don't know. I don't know if you make this team better. I don't know what you do to make this team better. I'm at a loss. I really am at a loss. To give them, I think, credit for their fight in the sixth or seventh inning of the last game, which you've already been bodied the first two, is just, that's a tough look.
Only
for me,
to cough
man.
Up every Only run to that cough you score right back. Immediately.
And you know, Estrada's been so good this year. Everybody, nobody's going to be perfect throughout. I understand
he's,
that.
He's been a little off since he was sick.
Since he was ill.
Yeah, since he had that illness. He definitely has not looked exactly the same. Hopefully that's temporary and bounces back to what he was pre-illness, but yeah, not hasn't been the same the last week or so.
Yeah, man, it's just when things are going bad, you ask about the send, right, or the non-send. When things are going bad for your team, every decision is the wrong decision. The decision, if he had sent him, he would have been killed. He didn't send him, he's getting killed, right? I just, every decision is the wrong decision that the San Diego Padres are making right now. You put in Jeremiah Estrada to try to hold that to a one run. Jeremiah Estrada, who doesn't give up a lot of runs ever, gives up four runs, hands it right back. He's clearly off. It just, it's terrible, man. Every decision is the wrong decision right now. And it's magnified when you don't hit, when you don't score runs, when your offense is dying, you know. And again, we're Mike Schilt was so happy that they battled back to get those runs. So then he could say, well, we didn't get totally bodied this series. You know, we fought hard and these guys don't give up. And I understand that's something a manager's got to say. But at some point, he's going to have to say, these dudes need to figure it out, you know?
It's, I mean, it's important that your team doesn't just fold their tents every time they get down. I understand that. And you know, he's always going to be positive about his team. It also smacks a little bit to me of a self-serving comment. Look at the team that doesn't quit on me. You know, you've seen other managers and teams quit on their managers, but they're not quitting on me.
Not this version.
Right now.
Right.
They're not doing that. We may not have won, but they didn't quit on me is kind of the unsaid part of that. And I mean, I don't, it doesn't really matter, as he said. If you don't win, it doesn't matter. I did think there was something that Mike Schilt said that was accurate after the game. It's true, basically, in all of baseball. But he said that the Padres definitely need to do a better job of marrying their hitting and pitching. It does feel like, hey, get a good pitching effort. Where was the offense? Get some offense, even if it comes late. Where was the pitching today? Why can't they both happen on the same day on occasion? Why does one have to disappear like it's some sort of teeter-totter scale? Oh, we got a good pitching? Well, then we better stop hitting today. Oh, the pitching's struggling? Well, now let's put up a few runs and lose this one close, you know, or have a chance at it but not pull it out late. The Padres don't seem to all be on sync on the same page, at least for any extended period of time, which is why they have not won more than four games in a row in the last season and a half, and have only won three games in a row once when they did it earlier this year. Or, like, I guess they did it late last year as well, but they have barely done it at all in the last season and a half because they're not marrying for extended stretches good pitching with good hitting. They just can't do it for 2 weeks straight where they just have really solid pitching and hitting all at the same time.
It's confounding. Like you said,
they get both at times, but rarely both together.
Yeah, Ivan says, who cares? We had good at bats, guys. LOL. Yeah, I don't. I care about wins. I care about beating Jose Quintana. That's what I care about beating. You're not going to go anywhere if you don't beat the Jose Quintanas of the world, or the Angels pitching staff, or the Rockies pitching staff. You're not going to go anywhere.
All right, we'll come back. We can talk a little bit about Saturday's loss, play a little take on Woods, hour number two on a Monday, next on The Fan.